Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen, this is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen!
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
You know what I'm saying? My homie J Cat and the homie Eric.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And as always, my co-host, Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, J.K., how you doing today? I'm doing fine. Can't wait for Saturday. I'm really pumped up for a reason behind, you know, the reason, as I'm getting Girl Scout cookies. So, yeah, I'm pumped for that.
Yeah, that's what's happening on Saturday. So, yeah, we have the best show of the year coming up, and that is Best of the Best 10. CZW, and looking forward to it very much.
Of course you're going to get a cameo appearance by yours truly, Eric Williams, as I'll be gracing the South Philadelphia faithful with my presence.
Right.
No stupid comment, you know, or I will not be gracing you guys with my appearance. I will
Right. Yeah, we wouldn't want to deprive the fans of that great honor, so we'll just move on from that. I'm just chilling out tonight. Just got my brand new recliner tonight, so I'm chilling in my recliner doing the show. And, like I told Eric earlier in the week, when I get this recliner, man, you hear dead air on my end. It's because this recliner choked me the fuck out, and I'm sleeping. But it's probably not going to happen.
And if he does fall asleep, you will be graced with my singing ability, my opera singing, maybe some rock singing, and then maybe a cameo later by Rodney Rush. I'll have like a 5-hour interview with him. It's fine.
Yeah, right. So for the good of the people, I will keep myself awake. I will fight for how comfortable this recliner is, and we will continue to do the show. So that is what it is. Crazy busy week. I'm all sorts of tired and just doing all sorts of shit around the house, backyard, just projects after projects. So, we're just going to get right into the show. And I think there's probably no better way. Oh, of course, we had WrestleMania. We had Raw, we had all sorts of things there that we can talk about, but I think there's really no better way to kick it off than talk about the show.
You said WrestleMania. Wasn't it Shit-a-mania?
Yeah. We'll get into that a little bit later. It is a very, very sore subject, and I think there's just no better way to start the show than to talk about the best show of the year.
This show.
What's that?
I said this show's the best show of the year.
Well, I'm not talking podcast. If I was talking podcast,
we're not a podcast. We are a show. You said show. And I said, this is the best show of the year.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a whole different line of this.
You're pretty much, yeah. Okay. Sorry about that. I'll cut it with the bullshit talk and, you know,
that's, yeah, that's a whole different line of discussion. And I could talk about other radio shows that don't need to exist later on. But as of right now, I'll just stick with, as I said, the best show of the year that is yet to happen.
Where's the people in the chat room tonight?
I don't know, Eric.
I'm not a fan of this one bit. CZW Princess is not even in the chat room.
Well,
what
she has a hard time
on?
Getting on in the, you know, chat with the laptop upstairs, so.
Okay.
She'll eventually be in there, but I don't know what else is going on. I have no idea. So.
That's my department.
Right. So, you ready to get into the show or what?
Yeah. Okay, Juan's there. Juan's in the chat room. He's listening. Okay. You ready to get into the show that everybody's been looking forward to for a year now? It's been about a year.
I've been ready. So, we have CCW's Best of the Best 10. Of course, should have happened last year. This should be Best of the Best 11. Because it's an annual tournament that happens every year, except for last year, due to the decision by DJ Hyde. So, all of that aside, everything aside, much anticipation built up. The card is stacked top to bottom. You have one of the best tournaments laid out in front of you, as well as non-tournament matches that are going to blow the roof off by themselves. Now, to break down the tournament, we have what is, I believe, a 12-man tournament. The first round are going to be three-way dances, two eliminations, one man emerges from each three-way dance. You will have one-on-ones in the second round, and then the finals. There will be three rounds, best of the best, 12 men, one winner, and it breaks down like this. In round one, you will have facing off, you will have Gran Akuma, Jonathan Gresham, and Zack Sabre Jr. in one three-way dance. That's bound to be a very, very exciting match. Akuma and Jonathan Gresham had hugely entertaining matches on even shows that weren't any good. And, you know, Zack Sabre Jr. being a very big standout overseas can only make that match even better. So that's going to be a very exciting match to start everything off. The next tournament match we do have is Adam Cole, the World Junior Heavyweight Champion, versus Kyle O'Reilly and Johnny Gargano in a three-way. So that's another very, very, very good match. I think Adam Cole had actually just traveled over to, where did they go, Germany.
England.
With Kyle O'Reilly.
England.
Right. Okay. So with Kyle O'Reilly. And so that was these guys have been in close proximity. They've been working together. And, you know, they work each other in Ring of Honor. They have a, you know, good working relationship. So it's definitely going to be a match with some chemistry in it, even though Kyle O'Reilly hasn't seen the ring of CZW yet. It's going to be a very, very fast-paced match, I think. So, then you have my predicted winner of the Best of the Best, and the rightful Best of the Best 10 champion, and that would be Sami Callihan, facing off against AR Fox and Jake Crist of the Irish Airborne. And that's, you know, I mean, Sammy, super high-impact guy. We didn't have him here last month. He was busy winning the 16-carat tournament. And, you know, AR Fox has been on a huge tear in CZW, you know, light heavyweight matches, all sorts of unbelievable things he's done in the ring. He has the crowd definitely behind him. And Jay Crist, you know, he's done some pretty big things with his tag partner. And, you know, his Irish Airborne, they've made a pretty good impact on the independent scene, I should say. So, There's that. And then we have the other match, which is Brandon Gatson, Chuck Taylor, and Sakimoto in a three-way. And, man, I wish luck to Brandon Gatson and Chuck Taylor, as tremendous of athletes as they are, but Sakimoto is a beast. And, man, someone's getting deadlift Germaned on their head, and I don't want to be them, man. That's some serious, serious shit right there. Another thing you have, which is huge, hugely anticipated, and that is Danny Havoc facing off against the one and only Crazy Monkey Jun Kasai. I mean, we've wanted this guy back in CZW since 2001 when we had him last. He hasn't been able to make it back since, and now, finally, we are getting Jun Kasai, and as we will...
Oh, DJ.
Yeah. So as we, you know, get into in a minute, we're actually going to get to see him wrestle twice that day. And that's a phenomenal thing. And actually, he's going to wrestle again the next day, but, you know, we'll get into that as well. The other thing on the card, non-tournament match, is a six-man tag title. Big, big stakes here. We have the Briscoe Brothers and Devin Moore. The tag team champion Briscoe Brothers and Devin Moore versus Philly's Most Wanted and the Ego Robert Anthony. So all titles are on the line. If Philly's Most Wanted and Robert Anthony win that match, Philly's Most Wanted get their tag titles back. If the Briscoe Brothers and Devin Moore win that match, then Robert Anthony will lose his title to Devin Moore. That's the way that match is going down. There must be a title change in this match. There will be titles moving one way or another. And that's how it's going to go down. And a pretty interesting thing that G's had actually brought up in his latest blog on this show is you do have the last three best of the best winners on one team. And that is Philly's Most Wanted and Robert Anthony. Best of the best 7, 8, and 9 winners. And that's pretty substantial, I think. So if there's anyone who's going to challenge the Briscoes and Devin Moore and come up with a good formula to how to beat them, I think it's the last three guys to win this prestigious tournament. So I think we have quite a show ahead of us.
Hey, we want to also welcome to the chat room Larry Legend.
Welcome to the chat, Larry. And, so there's that. You know, I'm telling you, that show is going – I can't say enough about it. That show is going to be un-fucking-believable. I can't wait for it. This is one of those shows you wait all year for. You got, you know, best of the best, Tournament of Death, and Cage of Death. And when one is 2 days away, there's nothing to contain your, you know, anticipation. It's only time could, you know, make it any better because it's almost here. But previous to that, there is WXW is running a show that afternoon, and it is a doubleheader. So
can't wait. I'm pumped.
Yeah. And there's some matches lined up for that as well. One of the ones that, I don't know, well, let me say the reason I'm going to WXW would be the main event of that, the other Jun Kasai match of the day, which I had mentioned, and that is a no-rope barbed wire match with Jun Kasai facing off against the returning Golden Boy, Drake Younger. You know, Drake, Sabian, DJ, Danny Havoc, they had all just... did a successful, unbelievably successful tour of Japan. Under the circumstances, unbelievable. Most men, including me, wouldn't dare travel to Japan under the circumstances. But these guys, you know, they went out there, they did what they wanted to do, they chased their dreams, they accomplished dreams, and, you know, they came back in one piece. And, you know, thank God for that, and a big shout out to those guys who went out there and represented. And Drake is back for a challenge of a lifetime in a no-rope barbed wire match against Jun Kasai as well as Danny Havoc is back for the same task, and its stipulations are to be announced, but that will be on the night show. So you will see two Jun Kasai matches in the same day, and that's something you don't get every day, guys. That's definitely something you don't get every day. I've been waiting since 2001 when I saw him in Sewell dive off that wall. And, yeah, I've been waiting to see him back over here since. So I'm very, very excited.
Will he get a welcome? Will he get a welcome back chant?
I'd imagine. I would hope that some of the people were actually there when that happened, or you know, even know that he was in the States. But gotta understand. I mean, there's some people that are watching CZW that were 6 years old when that happened. So it's you know, you would hope. I know it's coming out of my mouth, but. You know, we'll see, man. He's going to get a reaction. He's going to put on a great match, I'm sure. I mean, you're talking about a legend in deathmatch wrestling. So there's no stopping this from being a monumental show. Like, the both shows are going to be crazy, but Best of the Best isn't going to be topped. Well, back to WXW, because I'm still promoting Best of the Best on top of the other show. I don't know what I could do. But you also have Saki Moto facing off against Chris Hero on the afternoon show. That's pretty big. You have Big Van Walter and Brody Lee taking on Johnny Moss and Michael Elgin. You also have Bad Bones facing off against who I hope to win Best of the Best, Sammy Callahan. And two guys that are going to be facing off within the three-way later on are going to be tagging up on the afternoon show, and that will be Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly facing off against the leaders of the new school in Marty Scurll and Zack Sabre Jr. Also on the early show will be Brent Gatton and Emil Sikosi. And like I said, very, very good afternoon show. Night show will not be topped, and everybody needs to get out there to check out WXW's afternoon show, followed by CZW's Best of the Best 10. That won't be touched by another show for a good amount of time. It's going to be quite a high order to reach. It's going to be quite a high standard to try to follow. Very, very tough act to follow for any other show that's going to run after Best of the Best this year.
Right.
So that's that. Why don't we take a quick break? I know we have a lot of WWE. We have a lot of other indie stuff. I got some other things to talk about indie-wise. I had mentioned last week, for those who haven't listened, you know, with the whole movement of the GLAAD and the everybody trying to be sensitive in the WWE, that's cool. That's what you guys want to do. Michael Cole just seems very irritating, as well as he has been insensitive towards such topics. So I found a suitable replacement. Anytime they'd like to fire him, I say bring in Randall. For those who don't know what Randall does, is he does voiceovers on wildlife videos on the computer. And what a better ring announcer, or commentator, I should say, could you find? I don't think there is one. Have this guy be Michael Cole's replacement. Get rid of this guy, and let's go with Randall. Eric, I think you got a clip with his description on the water Chevrotain.
Okay.
And, we'll play that, and we'll see you guys in a second.
This is the water Chevrotain. I'm sorry, Chevrolet Chaka Khan. Let's do it again. This is the water chestnut. The water. I'm so sorry. This is the water Chevrotain, also known as the fanged deer, because the males have tusks which resemble fangs. And they're over 20 million years old, this mammal. They're related to deer, bison, pigs, and antelope, found on the coasts of West and Central Africa in the rainforest. Look, it's eating a flower. They snack on plants, fruits, and flowers. They're so Look, it's the crowned eagle. Jesus Christ, these birds are nasty. They're like honey badgers with wings. They eat mammals. Can you believe that? Little mammals like monkeys and antelopes. Look, it wants a snack. Keep in mind that this little water shepherd's tame is no bigger than my mother's Jack Russell. Alas, the crowned eagle is perhaps the most powerful and strongest eagle of all of Africa. It can carry up to 44 pounds of prey in its claws. Mommies and daddies, watch your children. These crowned eagles will eat your babies. And believe me, the last thing in court you want to say is a crowned eagle stole my baby. Look, there it goes, swooping in for a snack. Run, water chevrotain. Splash. Into the water, it gets away. Yay! Excellent. Screw you, you stupid crown stupid. You're just a bird. Why are you eating monkeys? That's disgusting. Look, there's the water chevrotain walking around like a baby hippo on the floor of the water. Oh, it's so sweet. Get away. But that crown eagle's just up there waiting. Waiting for an opportunity to snack on a mammal. How gross. Look, it's just waiting, biding its time. The water chevrotain can hold its breath for up to 4 minutes underwater. Look at this eagle, please. Look, the water chevrotain comes up for a breath of air. Take that in, little baby. Duck down, duck down. Look, the crown eagle thinks he sees the water chevrotain. Oh, get down, girl, please. The crown eagle swoops down and picks up a rock. You're so stupid, you crown idiot. Looks like this crown eagle will not be having water chevrotain tonight for dinner. This endless game of cat and mouse has gone on for over 20 million years, folks. The crown eagle and the water chevrotain. Look at that little dearie. Oh, get away to safety, hon. The crown eagle, the water chevrotain. Crazy.
Yeah, so I think no better replacement for Michael Cole than there is. Randall.
You damn right. You damn
right. I mean, the commentary on that type of match would just be insane. Like, I really needed that guy on some of those WrestleMania matches to provide me some form of entertainment outside of the match that was actually happening because, oh my God, WrestleMania. I guess that has to be our next topic.
What a joke that shit was.
Yeah. I usually laugh at jokes. I mean, I do like comedy, and
no,
I don't know if that's the right way to describe it.
Maybe I should
jokes
change
are
it.
Funny.
Maybe I should call it a fucking debacle.
That would work. That'd be adequate. Well, maybe you could read me more or less like the card, and I'll give you my reaction on, you know, the things that are going down in the WrestleMania card that we had to endure.
Do you really want me to read off the card again so we have to go through this WrestleMania again? Wasn't it hard enough watching the damn thing? Okay, fine.
Well,
I have my
commentary on such things, so...
I know you have your commentary. Your good commentary. I have some good commentary too.
All right.
Maybe I should be the new Michael Cole. Anyway.
If you say so.
Hey, don't disagree. I know you'd rather have Reggie than
Don't even get me started on Reggie, for Christ's sakes.
We had the opening match, and don't even ask me why. It was the opening match. Edge versus Alberto Del Rio for the WWE Championship.
Right. Honestly, I didn't think the match was bad, and I'm not an Edge fan at all, but I thought it went pretty well. They told a good story, you know, with the arm and, you know, him working the arm and doing the arm bar. I mean, Del Rio is hugely, hugely talented. So, you know, although he gets over as a heel so much that the 90% of the people, I'm like, hey, man, fucking Del Rio is doing really good. They're like, I hate that fucking guy. Oh, he sucks. Like, okay, well, you're buying his gimmick. That's cool. But, I mean, he's very, very talented, and I like the guy. Overall, though, I think, like, opening the show with a world title match is really shitting on the title. They might as well have, like, opened the show, had The Rock come out, cut his first of 8 promos, and while he was saying, like, finally The Rock comes back too, he should have just been, like, dropping a shit on that title. And then thrown it in the garbage or flushed it or did whatever you had to do with that title and then start the show with those two guys, you know?
Right.
It would make sense, you know? Because honestly, hey, like, I don't understand,
never,
like...
Never makes sense.
Right. I just don't understand, like, how you can actually start the show with a world title match and, you know, have Snooki second to top billing. But it gets worse and worse as the show goes on, knowing that Snooki was in the spot she was. So, my
well,
personal opinion...
Let's not spoil it, people. Come on.
Oh, people are watching WrestleMania through my podcast? Holy shit. Go ahead.
Yeah. You're not supposed to be... This is a spoiler. We're telling the spoilers. Come on, man.
And go ahead.
People aren't going to check us out now. You're going to get emails at the ass saying, hey, what the hell?
I'm good, because I don't get any emails yet, so that'd be great. Go ahead.
Well, I know. All right, so the next matchup, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was that core match, that freaking 8-man. No,
I didn't see that because I heard the music going on to all of that, and I walked outside. So you'll have to give me the quick review on that.
2-minute match, nothing too spectacular.
Huh.
And
that was
yeah.
Kane and all sorts of other people, right?
Kofi Kingston and
seemed like a better move than a Money in the Bank match, right?
Definitely, most definitely.
Yeah. We definitely do away with the Money in the Bank match because no one liked that ever. And then, put in an 8-man of mostly comprised of guys on one side of it that have main-evented matches on pay-per-views. You know, let's just do that. Okay.
Fucking
falling asleep reading the card, or what are you doing?
Well, no, I'm just yawning because of the fact that, you know, about WrestleMania.
Right.
Well,
okay.
How about this? Sheamus and Daniel Bryan, dark match.
That's, again, man, I don't understand where you put certain titles on people and then say, hey, you know what, that doesn't even belong on the card. But, hey, Snooki's got a high card billing. Fucking, you know, we're doing some things with Vicky Guerrero this week. I don't understand. Just don't get it. Michael Cole's got a spot. Like, oh, fuck.
We don't have a spot. They don't have a spot.
Right, so, what was the next match on the card after that?
Okay, I'm pretty much, I believe it was Mysterio and Cody Rhodes at this point.
Yeah, and I missed that one again, too. I seen, like, you know, the clips and everything and the horrible Captain America thing, even though he's not, like, he's Mexican, I believe. Kind of crazy, but oh, okay. All right, Captain.
Whatever.
That's cool.
Hey, you know those little kids. The little kids love the masks.
The little kids don't know nationalities. That's fine. You know, you can wear whatever you want.
Hello.
No hate. You know. I mean, I
just make
don't
sure.
Get it,
just make
go
sure
ahead.
That they're. Just make sure that he's wearing clothes. That's all I gotta say.
Okay.
But anyway. We also had Punk and Orton one-on-one.
Honestly, I mean, it was a pretty good match. I wasn't happy with the outcome. I really wanted Punk to come out on top on that. I don't know where they go from that, really.
I don't know if they can go anywhere from that.
I guess they pretty much just have to continue the storyline. It's not, but it was supposed to be like a blow-off. And the way Punk was really building up and the whole Nexus was taken out, you know, due to Randy Orton and all of that. I don't know if, like, just Punk losing at WrestleMania is, like, solves anything. Like, what does Punk do now as a heel? He'll be like, yeah, He kicked the shit out of all my guys, and I tried to act bad, and then he kicked my ass too. Like, I don't know how that works. But I mean, I got to tell you, I mean, Punk's, you know, his facial expressions and the way he works matches, and you know, his emotion through matches is really second to none. I mean, you see him in certain spots in that match, and just the look on his face tells a fucking thousand words. And it really defined how that match was going down, and it really helped so much in the progression of that match. There was, you know, he missed that RKO down the end. I mean, you seen this huge relief and also kind of laughing at Orton for missing the spot and that he got out of it. Then a minute later, he tried to capitalize and it was the finish, and it went down pretty well. One of the better matches of the show.
Of course. And then we had Michael Cole versus Jerry the King Lawler.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Garbage.
Yeah, that was, I don't think there was anything good you could have done there. Unless you dressed two good wrestlers in Halloween costumes and sent them out there trying to be those guys. And, you know, maybe, but even then, honestly, like, there was a point in that match where I was actually, you know, pretty impressed with what Lawler was doing. You know, he pulled off a dropkick in that match that was pretty impressive for a guy his age. I think that was right before the finish with the diving punch or whatever the fuck. This drop. And I don't know. There's just no point to it. There's two guys I never want to see in the ring. I really don't care. And there's nothing substantial that comes out of that. And then, you know, Stone Cold gets himself over as he always does. And, you know, fucking Booker T comes in to celebrate and he stuns him too. Like,
that was stupid.
What, are they going to wrestle in a few weeks? Oh, no, that's right. No, that's not going to happen. So I guess that's for no reason to just bury Booker T further. Why not?
Yep.
You know, just kind of pointless. And, yeah, okay, I guess maybe they'll watch Tough Enough and we'll see if any drama comes out of that stunner. Like, oh, Jesus, it was taped fucking months ago.
Hey, come on. You're not supposed to be breaking the law here.
Breaking the
what
law?
What
the fuck are you talking about?
What do you mean? Tough Enough was live, Jay. Tough Enough was live.
Oh, okay.
There's kids that listen to the show.
Weird. Yeah, it's kind of funny how six were eliminated from the show, and then on Monday they were still on the show. Like, it was nice how they brought the chick back that they eliminated, because, you know, I guess I'll get into that in a minute, because I got to talk about Tough Enough as well, because that was a pretty hilarious experience, and I'll be watching that weekly. It'll probably be better than Raw as far as entertainment for me.
But we also had, right after that, we had the Hall of Fame. They showed all the people in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we went over the Hall of Fame last week. The only ones I actually missed last week, for whatever reason, is Bullet Bob Armstrong and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And I believe they both belong in there. But we had, you know, gone over all of the Hall of Fame inductees minus those two guys, because they just slipped my mind, with Billy Graham last week. So you pretty much know my feelings on the Hall of Fame entrance, and you also know Billy Graham's feelings on it. So,
and now we have the last three matches.
Right.
We have the match that everybody paid the money to see. The Undertaker versus Triple H.
Yeah. Well, I liked the match a lot. The things I didn't like with it, I'll say in a minute, but how about that fucking entrance? How many people were in their fucking home going, Trip fucking H, when you heard Who the Bell Tolls coming through those fucking speakers? And, yeah, man, I mean, that was just a well put-together entrance. Of course, Triple H had to pay fucking boatloads of fucking money to use the song that we all know belongs to somebody else who hasn't paid a dime for it. But either way, the fucking man was brought up in everybody's mind as Triple H entered the arena. And I thought that was really, really cool. Of course, Triple H didn't mean it to mean anything other than the bell is tolling for The Undertaker and he's having his freak and yada, yada. But, you know, of course, indie fans, you know, Northeast indie fans for the most part, they all saw something different. They all had a different feeling when those when that music came through that speakers. And I thought it was just cool, you know, because you just saw, as soon as the shit was going on, you logged on the computer and you saw the Facebook lighten up. Nick fucking Gage, oh shit, the man's at WrestleMania. Like, and that was cool as hell. But either way you look at it, no matter what speaker, you know, we're coming through the speakers, that entrance was really, really cool with Triple H. And I thought Undertaker's was cool as well. Like, people try to say that, like, his entrance is downgraded or whatever, but it's supposed to be calmer and darker. It's not supposed to be a big, like, celebration as The Undertaker comes out, because he's supposed to be a dead guy and, you know, a much more monotone, dark shit. And I think, you know, they came across with that well. The problem I had with the match was, I mean, how do you follow it? How do you follow hitting three pedigrees and The Undertaker's tombstone on him? Like, if anybody that loses to that one pedigree now, like, I don't know if that makes them look weak. Or, you know, if Triple H does get that rematch this year with The Undertaker, what does he got to hit him with? Fucking eight pedigrees and his car and, you know, and I don't know. Like, what do you hit him with to actually get the finish when you see, like, you know, this guy's finisher that trashed Sheamus a few weeks ago in like 30 seconds. He took three of those fucking things, as well as The Undertaker's finisher, and a fucking chair shot to the head, which, apparently isn't illegal now. See, it seems like once these old guys come around.
I heard he got fined. I heard he had gotten fined. Both of them. Corporate will take that as a loss.
Yeah, but you know, it seems like I was saying too, when these older guys come around, the PG shit's out the window. They can throw all the bastards and the candy asses and the bitches out their mouth on TV, and then all of a sudden, chair shots to the head again. Oh, sweet. But I mean, whatever, man. It is what it is. I like the match. I just think you kind of build some shit that, like, a barrier that's hard to cross at this point with all those finishers and no falls. And the other thing I didn't like, which kind of leads me over to, which I don't have a whole lot to say about Raw because I was so disgruntled after Sunday. I wasn't really huge on watching every second of Monday. But, you know, the fact that Undertaker gets, you know, quote-unquote carried out after the match, Triple H loses, and Triple H comes out pretty much to open Raw like ain't shit happened. Like, I just think, again, you kind of shit on the match with, you know, your choice of content, whether it be how long someone sells something or whether someone sells something at all, you know, from A, finishes, to B, out time. You're cutting a promo the next fucking day saying, I'll be waiting when you come back. And you're talking to the fucking guy that beat you last night. That shit does not look good.
It doesn't look good at all.
No, and they keep saying they have Hollywood writers, but apparently these people in Hollywood haven't watched wrestling because that shit isn't supposed to happen.
Or they're Hollywood writers of terrible movies.
Possibly. I don't know, man.
Well, here's what I liked in this match, and maybe I could, you know, dwell on it. I thought the spinebuster through the table, looked freaking awesome.
Well, that was pretty cool. I thought the early match with you know, Triple H taking that backdrop off the announcer's table was definitely cool as shit. I thought that was awesome. You know, for a guy who's really not trying to take any bumps for no reason. That was a quick and early, you know, if you blink, you missed it. But, yeah, I mean, that was a quick body punishment to more or less start the match.
Right.
And, yeah, I was pretty impressed by that. Definitely caught my attention. So, but,
what about the spot in the match where he hit the Hell's Gate and every, you know, with Triple H having the sledgehammer right near his hand and trying to grab the sledgehammer. It was like a moment of disbelief, and you were like, is he gonna hit Undertaker with the sledgehammer? Is he gonna what's gonna happen? And like, I was like, wow, I was on the edge of my seat for that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's kind of, to me, it's anticlimactic because I have a personal vendetta against the fucking Hell's Gate. I think it's one of the stupidest fucking submissions in all of wrestling. I think it looks retarded, and I don't like it at all.
MMA. What if every match at Best of Best ends like that? That'd be hilarious.
Oh, hilarious. Yeah.
You'd be fucking pissed off.
Yeah. So, then the next match, I believe, you know, because I think, here's my opinion. It's my opinion. This is not me telling anybody facts that they don't know, but my opinion is I think Snooki has AIDS, and her Make-A-Wish Foundation wish was to be billed above The Undertaker in WrestleMania. So thank you guys out there for giving little Snooki her wish. Big shout out to those guys. You guys do the Lord's work, man. That's.
Hey, Juan said she can get it.
Juan's all about Snooki, and that's fine, man. Just go lick the seaside beach, man. A good amount of hers over there, and you're not that far away from there. So, go lick the seaside beach. I'm sure she threw up on there within the month. Yeah. So there was that match. Snooki, you know, yeah, she pulled off the razzle-dazzle. Anybody with a gymnastics background, can do a razzle-dazzle.
Juan said, don't talk about Snooki.
Please. It's pretty painful to talk about Snooki, so I'm doing as little of it as possible. Okay? Because I have zero interest in talking about... Thanks. Like I said, she did a razzle-dazzle. Anybody with a barely gymnastics background can do so. You know, and she had a gymnastics background, apparently. Cheerleader, that's what it is. That's not that hard, seriously. Unless you haven't done anything close to that, then it's incredibly hard. But that's not a wrestling move, technically. You know, handspring, cartwheel, all of that, that's, you know, it's gymnastics. You know, it's stuff that you use on cheerleading and stuff like that. That doesn't, you know, make every cheerleader the sickest Lucha Libre wrestler in the world. You know, like, you don't look at the cheerleading competitions and be like, yo, she's the sickest high flyer in the world. She did a double axel off that corkscrew fucking handspring. You know, there's a difference, you know. And I'm saying it does take athletic ability. It does, you know. It does take effort, but in the same token, you don't get no wrestling credit out of that just randomly pulling that shit for me. The next shit she did that she got her little victory off is she did, like, the handspring to spring off the ropes thing, and then I don't give a fuck what nobody says. It was supposed to be a moonsault, and she overshot the shit out of it and then just fell on the chick for the pin.
For the finish.
Yeah, for the finish. It was supposed to be a handspring, bounce off the ropes into a moonsault. It wasn't supposed to be a fucking go over them with a fucking handspring into a fucking fall down on them. That's, no. Like, that shit that I've seen on YouTube with fucking Kirstie Alley falling on a dude looked more vicious than that shit. So, yeah, that was that. Fuck Snooki. I mean, how about it, Juan? That's That's your biz. You want to do that, do that. I don't give a fuck. She's polluted enough of my county over here. She did community service at my fucking job. I've had enough of fucking Snooki, all right? So, that's that. Main event. Garbage. What else?
You know what? You know what's crazy, though? They built that match up like crazy. They had those fucking music videos before the match. They fucking, you know.
What's
they
that?
Had fucking, for Cena and Miz. They had, like, music videos for fucking Cena and Miz before the match. Like, it was, like, the fucking biggest goddamn match ever in the
Cena
history
versus
of wrestling.
Who?
Versus Miz.
Oh, shit, because I thought he was fighting The Rock, because all I heard was promos of The Rock versus Cena for the past fucking 2 months.
No, that's
oh,
next year.
Oh, that. I'm sorry.
Well, I
forgot about the... I forgot about the impeccable planning of the WWE, where we are now scheduled to see The Rock versus John Cena next WrestleMania. That's, all right.
Yeah.
I guess I'll see you then, buddy. I didn't have interest in seeing it this year, let alone fucking a year from now. Guess what you got to look forward to? Like, oh, that's, terrible. Thanks. I'll just be here on the edge of my seat waiting. Don't you worry. I'm gonna quit my job and sit on the edge of my seat until next WrestleMania.
Yep.
Yep.
Sounds like a plan. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible. Speaking of WrestleMania, now that Undertaker, you know, contrary to some very, very delusional, very misled, undertaught, homeschooled fucking retards, Undertaker is still undefeated at WrestleMania. So, big surprise to only those people. And otherwise, yeah, 19-0. Obviously, he's winning next year. He's going to retire. Who will be his opponent? A lot of people had said Cena. I wasn't one of those people, but a lot of people said Cena. But now that Cena has already penciled in his booking for next year, who are we looking at?
You could look at another Triple H match.
Well, I mean, that could happen. One thing that I'll put out there real quick that I thought is a good possibility, and a lot of people are like on the surface are going to look at me like I'm stupid, but now here's my explanation of what needs to happen for the 20th. You can't, I mean, you can, but in a state of saying, hey, you know, what's right and wrong, you know, this year would have been okay on, like, a dream match, like a Sting-Undertaker, right? A never before, fucking the Sting-Undertaker WrestleMania. Brock Lesnar-Undertaker, oh, shit, fucking big hype. I think that would have been cool because you could have built up to it. You could have even done, like, another match afterwards in a month or two in March or not March, I should say, in June or in, you know, August or something. You could have done another match, you know, to even the odds or something like that. And then even if you wanted to do a rematch to that at his 20th, that would still be okay. But to just bring in a dream match, have them lose to The Undertaker and go away on his 20th year, it's kind of going to hurt the other guy's reputation, you know. And even, like, say Sting comes in for a one-time, last-time thing, he's going to lose to a guy and then go away? I can't imagine the mountains of money you would have to pay the guy in order to come in just to lose as his only time working in a company. So I just think that's out of the question. So saying that, I really think it would have to be a guy that he had a long-running feud, a long-running history with, and this would be the last time that both of those guys meet in the ring. And dare I say, the last time that either of those guys wrestle, period. So my pick for that, if these guys can both pull out every bit they have left in their body and leave that shit in the ring and go home and never come back, that would be Kane. Because Undertaker and Kane having such a storied history, such a deep, long-running history, I think that could be And I'm not a Kane fan. I'm really not. I haven't seen that many matches of Kane's that I was impressed with. But as far as, you know, the whole Brothers of Destruction and how long they've been running as, you know, from tag team partners to feuding, I think that could be, if done right, a really, really good blow-off match. Both of these guys go home, walk off into the sunset, and in a few years get Hall of Fame inductions. Or the way that they're running, 1 year, get Hall of Fame inductions. You know, that's just the way I feel. The other thing that's a good possibility as well, because Stone Cold has been doing interviews, and all of a sudden he's resurfaced heavy. And he just got, he just told somebody in an interview this past week that he thinks he's able to wrestle full time again. So if that's an outside chance in his mind that he thinks he can wrestle full time again, there's no question in my mind that he would take a main event in WrestleMania against The Undertaker for his last match in the WWE in wrestling. That's a very prestigious thing to be The Undertaker's last match and 20th win in WrestleMania. I mean, I really, really think that that has to be a name. It can't be an up-and-comer. He's not going to give anyone a rub. This is going to be, you know, The Undertaker's last stand. And it has to be one of a few people. And I would say Stone Cold would work. Kane would most certainly work. You know, a few months before, they would build up the heaviest, deepest, darkest Kane-Undertaker feud that they've done yet. You know, and they would continue that to WrestleMania, and these guys would leave everything in that ring. And that would be the last you see of these guys. Because, you know, I've heard lots of rumors about Kane retiring well before WrestleMania this year. And, you know, he did this year pretty much a joke match, mid-card, fucking eight-man. Like, he's obviously not making another huge run these days. And I think it could work. So
I agree.
That's my opinion on that. Well,
what do you think about Stone Cold? What do you think about Stone Cold saying that, though? Do you think it's possible, or is it something that you don't want to see?
Well, I don't really care one way or the other. The thing is, you know, guys, you know, like they say, you know, there is no retirement in wrestling and that type of thing. It's because, you know, these wrestlers are tough as hell. And you get guys like Stone Cold that's tough enough to take a fucking pile driver, break his neck all over the ring, and then still have the strength enough to get the pin off, to get a roll-up, get the pin, so that way they didn't even have to change who won in the finish while you have a broken neck. I mean, this guy is super tough. And to preface, you know, something he told somebody in Tough Enough, because this chick was, she was running the ropes and she kept pulling her pants up, like while she was running the ropes. And he told her, when I wrestled Yokozuna, he came off the ropes, landed on me, and I shit my pants. And I continued the match and I finished the match shitting my pants. yeah, you're looking at a pretty rough dude. You're pretty much looking at a dude that's going to, you know, he's going to go through tougher circumstances than most. So if he gets that good feeling in him, you know, some of these guys, they get, you know, 3 months out of a surgery that they're supposed to rest 6 months on, and they're like, I feel good, let's go. Well, this is a guy who's been resting for a minute. So chances are he might feel good. And, you know, as many wrestlers, including him, that have worked through injury and worked through very tough and painful times in their career and just got back in the ring because they needed to make the money.
Right.
A couple of years after retirement, you might feel better than you felt for most of your fucking career.
Right, right.
That doesn't mean... that doesn't mean that, like, a bad bump won't cripple you because of your past injuries.
Right.
But that does mean that, hey, man, all that fucking rest might have your body feeling really fucking good right now. And seeing these guys doing it and being back around the atmosphere, he might say, hey, fucking sign me up. I'm back. And I don't blame him for that. I don't doubt that he would do that. Honestly, if he's starting to make statements like that now, you could pretty much pencil him in for next year's WrestleMania, whether it's against The Undertaker or fucking whoever else, because you're not going to keep a guy like that away from the business. He's going to be money. No one's going to tell him, we don't want you back. We don't want you hurting yourself. If he makes that decision, believe me, you're going to see Stone Cold back in the fucking WWE.
Well, what do you think about The Rock coming back? Do you think that's the same type of situation, you know, where
it's short-lived.
He got tired of the...
Now, The Rock is short-lived. I said it from the start. You know, and the fact that I'm never going to leave you again. I'm never going to leave you again. Oh, I'm going to build up this huge feud with The Rock and or with Cena, and we're going to go back and forth at each other, and then we'll schedule something for next year. Well, hey, what are you doing, March of 2012? Yeah, bring it. You know, that's a quick example of exactly what I was saying with The Rock. He's not around. He's not going to be back as a regular. He might do a few spots. He might work a few matches. Obviously, he's going to. But he's not going to be working fucking mid-carders
full
for
time.
Half a year and then fucking big pay-per-view matches and then, you know, fucking Morrison wants some this week. Oh, I'm going to work that guy. And then, this guy wants some. I'm going to work that guy. Oh, that damn Cena interfered in my match again. Oh, wait till I get him. It's not going to be some crazy shit where he gets a bunch of matches, like crazy amount of matches, and we have like a build, and next year is going to be the big payoff. No, like, you're not going to see a lot of this fucking guy wrestle, if any, between now and next WrestleMania. So...
Right.
That's the bottom line, and that's, you know, I'm not trying to use that as a pun, being we're talking about Stone Cold as well, but I'm just saying that, you know, don't expect much. And you'll see when Stone Cold comes back, if Stone Cold comes back, you're going to see what his worth is in the WWE easily. I mean, it's all written on the wall. When you see these guys, they could tell you something 1 week, but listen, man, there's two shows on a week, and then a pay-per-view, you know, once a month. So some weeks you have three shows on, including the pay-per-view. I'm not talking any house shows or, you know, I don't know if they do any of the, more of those other superstars or fucking, you know, whatever else. I don't know what shows they still run. But, you know, you have Raw, you have SmackDown, and then, you know, 1 week out of the month you also have the, you know, the fucking pay-per-view. So you're not going to have these guys on two or three times a week or any of that. You're just not going to see them like that. That's not going to happen. I mean, I know a lot of people want their stars back. They want that back. Well, it's not going to happen. Get used to some of the new faces because this is what you're going to see. We finally, after much, much fucking bullshitting, got Sin Cara on Monday. And I'm very
awesome.
Yeah, I am very, very excited by that. This guy, he's incredible. And I'm really glad to see that he is finally, you know, I just see that, you know, he's finally going to be here. He's finally going to make an impact. I kind of worried about the way that they debuted him because you got him, you know, I guess you'd say, like, saving Daniel Bryan after they jobbed him out for the millionth time to Sheamus. And, you know, coming off their dark match, I guess that was a heated dark match. And, you know, they, you know, all of a sudden now, oh, Sin Cara comes in. He makes his entrance. Now, I mean, is he going to now feud with Sheamus and we're going to scrap Daniel Bryan again? I mean, what's our agenda here? I don't really understand. I'm glad to see the guy. There's a lot of guys I want to see in the ring with him. And it's just another guy that I can at least look forward to watching week in and week out. So I can complain, but I'd rather not because he's tremendous.
And if you're in the chat room and you want to see, you know, you want to post some matches that you want to see Sin Cara and, you know, post them in the chat room and I'll try to read them off later on in the show.
Sure. sure, sure. Another guy who we can be looking forward to seeing in the WWE, but let's just, for now, hope he gets past developmental because, you know, some guys don't. You know, a.k.a. Colt Cabana, a.k.a. Robert Anthony and whatnot. But John Moxley has been signed to a developmental contract for the WWE, and I'm very happy for him. Congratulations to him. And that's, you know, pretty big news, man. The guys worked their whole career for that, and, you know, Mox is still pretty young. And, yeah, I wish him the best, man. The guy could talk, he could wrestle, and, yeah, I think that could be really, really good. So, yeah, man. So, what else do you want to get into?
Well, we could talk. I didn't watch Tough Enough, so you can, you know, apparently you did.
Well, yes, I did.
I want to hear a little review of Tough Enough.
It's pretty entertaining. You know, the little redneck kid, I think he's got enough spunk to make it. I think he can actually make it, whether it be, you know, winning Tough Enough or just, you know, doing enough, you know, to get the nod a year or two later. Not even a year or two later, because honestly, a lot of those guys that lose Tough Enough, you know, back in the day, they'd ended up in the fucking business anyway. So, you just got to keep trying at it, even if you don't win. Same, you know, American Idol shit. Motherfuckers, half the top people end up with fucking albums and followings. So, that's the same shit. But that kid, I think he's got something. Obviously, M-Dog, man. You know, M-Dog has been a great fucking wrestler for a while. It was kind of crazy, though, seeing them, like, they had everybody running the ropes and shit like that. And half of them didn't know what the fuck they were doing. And I'm like, oh, well, fucking M-Dog's going to breeze through this. Well, like, they even showed M-Dog for a spot where, like, he was all blown up and shit. And he's like, you know, I've never done it like this. And I'm like, I'm looking like, what the fuck? Like, this cat's going to be anywhere.
Yeah, that must have been like a fucking, like, they must have told him to do that shit or something.
Maybe, because I can't believe him being anywhere near, like, where some of these other guys who have never even done the shit before, because he's hugely talented. But who knows, man. But outside of that, man, some of these motherfuckers is retarded. Like, the chick that got eliminated, right? I break this down. Like, she was the chick running the ropes, pulling her pants up in between every step she took in between the ropes. Like, she's running the ropes, and she got some of them stretch pants and shit. She got the stretch pants on, she's running the ropes, and she just keep trying to hike them shits up. Yeah, them bitches ain't even falling. You know what I mean? You ain't even seen no crack, no ass cheek, no nothing, man. She's just conscious of that shit. So she just keep yanking on her fucking pants. Oh, fucking running the ropes. Yanking on her fucking pants. So she's like shuffling halfway because she's trying to pull her fucking pants. So, of course, that shit didn't go over well. I was like, yo, and that's when Stone Cold told her, you know, I shit my pants when fucking Yokozuna jumped on me off the fucking middle rope. And I finished the match. Why you got to fucking yank on your pants while you're running the ropes? Who, you ain't going to fucking make it. So anyway, and she made a point, like, within this first episode to say the word that I've never heard before and I hope to never hear again, and that is Divalicious. She kept saying, well, you don't know what it's like to be Divalicious. Well, at least I'm Divalicious.
Wow.
I'm more Divalicious than the rest of you. And I'm just like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean, and why the fuck do I gotta keep hearing that? It's making my stomach hurt. And you're trying to be tough enough, and you're trying to be better and tougher and outlast everybody while telling everybody you're just more Divalicious, and that's why they don't get it. So anyway, it comes down to the final shit. She's one of the last three. Well, Stone Cold asks her, you know, when do you, you know, because she kept saying, well, this has been my new passion. This has been my new dream. This has been my new, the new thing that I'm really into. He asked her, What was your favorite match ever? Eric, do you know, do you have any guess of what her answer was that she told Stone Cold?
I know what she said a bit. I freaking want a freaking post in the chat room.
She said Eve versus Melina.
No. Alicia Fox versus Melina.
Alicia Fox versus Melina. Yeah. Best match ever.
Best match ever for me is Undertaker Michaels from last year.
I mean, they didn't say WWE. They didn't say anything. They just said, what was your favorite wrestling match ever? You know? And she came out with Alicia Fox Melina.
Well, looks like she doesn't watch wrestling.
Absolutely not. I mean, fuck. You know, he could even went deeper in that and said, oh yeah, what was the finish? He could have said, who won the match? She didn't watch that shit neither. Like that, even that shit was, yeah, fuck out of here.
Was Stone Cold wired? Was he fired up or was he calm?
Nah, but he was just dead ass serious with these cats. You know, he was dead ass serious. Like, yo, I mean, you ready for this shit? And you know, if they were like, well, you know, I'm just kind of, you know, I get around to it. They'd be like, no, you gotta fucking, you either here for this shit or you're not. Like, he tried to switch roles with the one guy and was like, you know, how would you tell me that you want to be here? You know, what would make me think that you need to be here? And the guy says some bullshit. He's like, I don't know, fuck that. Let's switch this around. You ask me. And then he's like, why would you want to be here? And he just fucking freaked out, like cut promo, you know, because these people don't have what I have and I've refused to fucking lose and this is the reason why I belong here. And, you know, like really laid into him and shit. He's like, that's what you say, you know. And, yeah, man, it's just entertaining because some of these people is just, they out their goddamn mind. That chick with the Divalicious and fucking Alicia Fox shit, man. Oh, goddamn. That's your favorite match ever. Well, she's out.
It's all about the new changes that WWE is going to make. You know what I mean? Apparently, this is going to be full time now. They're going to keep doing this Tough Enough stuff. You know what I mean?
That's fine, because I think it's fun. But yeah. I mean, you know, she got kicked off. You know.
How does that work?
Stone Cold pretty much stands there and makes the fucking decision. You get to, like, plead your case, and he might ask you some questions. And one of those questions she got was, what's your favorite match? And she came off of that shit. So that was more or less, in my opinion, the straw that broke the camel's back, the fucking, the last dagger, the motherfucking, you know, the very deciding decision, the deciding factor in getting her the fuck out of there, because yeah, man, you don't answer no shit like that. That's insane. You better have a good fucking description of why Alicia Fox and fucking Melina was the best match you've ever fucking seen. You better have some scientific fucking breakdown of why that shit was better than every fucking thing else out there, not just fucking Alicia Fox and Melina. Like, he's going to go, oh, that was the shit. Yeah, you're damn right. That match was the shit, man. I thought I did well wrestling Bret Hart back in the day, but Alicia Fox and Melina tore that shit up. Like, what the fuck do you think a Stone Cold is going to tell you back to that shit? Just be like, I don't even know. Just be like, fucking, you know, I don't know.
yeah, I know.
You versus somebody. Any match you were in. Tell them some bullshit. You'd be like, I don't know how to pick out of your matches of which one was my favorite. And then he'd be like, I am, motherfucker. He might have still called her out there and said, oh, well, name two people I've worked. She'd be like, Alicia Fox. And fucking, you know. It
He's like, who the
is.
Fuck is Alicia Fox?
No,
Alicia
he said
Fox.
Who? He said when she said the when she said Alicia Fox Molina, he said who? Which makes me laugh because both of them are employed by the same company. But
yeah.
You know,
that's funny.
Generally, when they're working for the company, you don't want a guy going, who the fuck is that? Unless they're like a heel working a match with them. But it was like legitimate.
Trish,
like,
what was Trish's role on the show?
She didn't really hold back a whole lot either. She was pretty serious on not taking any shit from them coming in and everything. We'll just see how that pans out, because she's actually, you know, a really nice person. She's not like Bill DeMott, I think, is going to give these people some problems. Between Bill DeMott and Stone Cold, I mean, you got some tough trainers there. You got Bill DeMott, who's had countless shoot interviews by famous wrestlers that ripped him apart for being a complete bully and brutal and unprofessional in training. Of course, he would still have to tone it down, you know, on national TV, as Eric says, live TV. And, you know, they would have to definitely tone it down.
It's live. You know, who knows? I'm excited for next week. I'm pumped.
Right. Yeah, me too. But, you know, he's going to have to tone it down a little, but either way you look at it, he's not going to be, like, light on these guys. He's going to be tough on them, so.
Yeah, but he's not going to be a bully.
I mean, you can skate a thin line with that. You could be a pretty tough trainer and give it to these guys at the same time. You don't have to straight, you know, bully them or thug them out or anything, you know. You can actually be pretty tough and pretty stiff.
How was Booker?
Them.
How was
he
Booker
was? He was probably the most chill of the crew. Again, his first week, so it's hard. You know, he wasn't like. They were all critical of the crew there, you know, letting them all of them let them know that, you know, this ain't a joke and you're really going to have to step up. But Booker was probably the most lax between him and Trish.
What were they doing? Did they do just ran the ropes and then what? How did that work? Like,
You know, they did run in the ropes. They did, you know, a couple squats. They only showed clips of that. They didn't really do well. They did like rolls, like like judo rolls.
Right.
Yeah, like they did the like front rolls and stuff. They were doing those, and so some people had them down, some people didn't. Most of the guys actually did have them down.
M-Dog? Did he have them down?
They didn't even show him doing that shit. You know what I mean? Because certain shit, like, they don't want people just doing shit perfect that they've been doing for years. They want to see guys struggle and then build. That's the only way for that show to work, is to see how they actually taught somebody something. If they show M-Dog doing everything he knows how to do, they actually, like, in my opinion, I think that's why they try to show him looking kind of blown up, is because they're trying to make it look like, well, here's a flaw that we're going to work on with this guy.
Right.
You can't just have a guy coming in, school everybody, and do shit that the trainers can't do.
And he's not even with the WWE, yeah.
Right. And then, you know, put him over and be like, yeah, you see the guy who was already trained was better than you guys who weren't? Like, so.
How did Miss USA do?
She made a point to tell everybody that she's not just Miss USA and she's not just another pretty face. And then she proceeded to tell everybody that she's Miss USA 5 times in the episode. And then when she was running the ropes, when she knew she was going to be running the ropes, she put a pad under her pants on her ass so her ass didn't bruise. And they called her out on it. And, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's terrible.
It's something else. But, that was pretty much tough enough, you know. It was, like I said, pretty entertaining to me. More entertaining than Raw was for me, because it was just a pretty cool thing to see.
Did you get a chance to watch the Hall of Fame at all, or no?
No, I didn't, no.
Okay.
I guess, take another break and come back. I mean, we got some other indie stuff, some other stuff to talk about, but That's pretty much
we have a Frank Goodman show to review.
I have very, very little to say about that. But we have a few other things to talk about. I figure, you know, we'll take a break between our WWE talk and then getting into a few other things. And I guess we'll go with our friend Sigas and his rant on Facebook. And I think that's a pretty entertaining rant. This guy's a very big favorite of mine. I have much love for Sigas. He's quite an opinionated guy, and I find him hilarious. So, hope you guys enjoyed as much as I do.
Man, I am pissed off. I'm sorry if I don't do no introduction this afternoon. I am angry as hot dog piss at this goddamn Facebook. I try to be very nice to Facebook. I freaking didn't like Facebook when I first came onto it. I said, what is this stupid crap? It looks like AIDS mixed with gonorrhea. You can't understand how to work the goddamn pages. Someone keeps poking me in my booty pipe. A gay dude keeps sending me vampire bites. All these people keep sending me to their dumbass pages. Everybody have a stupid page. Fat bitch page. Ugly nigga page. Clown with a dildo in his mouth page. I don't know. I didn't understand Facebook when I first came onto Facebook. But after a few months, I fell in love with Facebook. It's a great way to talk to fans, great way to talk to the community, but they did something that done pissed me the hell off. I am at the limit. I have close to 5,000 friends on Facebook, so I decided to make a fan page. I make the goddamn fan page. Half the people on my friend list, when I give them the link to my fan page, can't see my fan page. It redirects them to the home page. Half of them. That means I only get like a few hundred clicks on my fucking fan page, and that means I can't ask people to talk to me, the fans, because of stupid ass Facebook. Facebook, you a piece of shit. I hate you, Facebook. Why don't you have bugs all the time? You have more bugs than Lindsay Lohan's twat. Why can't you work for 2 seconds, you piece of crap? Why can't you work? Why can't nothing work with your dumb ass? I'm so freaking angry right now, you piece of shit. I make a fan page. I put five hours. I'm sitting up here looking for this dumb ass shit to on Google. Why is my fan page not working for half my friends? Why is it keep directing me and ain't no goddamn search results on Google? Google got so mad at me and said, bitch ass nigga, stop searching this shit. Ain't nothing on the database. I'm fucking angry, man. I'm sorry for cussing. I'm not even doing this to make no joke video. I am pissed the hell off right now. I'm trying to become a goddamn fucking comedian, and you pisses of shit on Facebook, some faggot tech guy, I don't know his stupid name, made the goddamn website. You're so busy selling ads and shit, you don't know how to fix this damn shit. Make the shit work, your ass white. Why don't you make shit work on Facebook and stop sending motherfuckers my way? I don't want to be a goddamn vampire. I don't want to be in Twilight. I don't want to watch the new Harry Potter film. I don't want to watch none of that crap. Stop sending me them dumbass pages all the goddamn time. Oh, man, I'm so goddamn pissed. I'm not even trying to make jokes right now. I'm just mad as hell. Facebook, you need to rename yourself Fuckbook, you ass wipe. Why can't you just make my fan page appear in my shit? Why can't you make it appear, you dumbass bitch? Why? Why? What the fucking problem? Why doesn't my shit work? I'm trying to think positive in my goddamn life. I'm tired of thinking negative. And the one time I try to do something positive, it fucked the goddamn hell up. Facebook, I hope I never meet your ass. I'm gonna beat the hot dog piss out of you, goddamn it. Why can't you just work? What, you asshole? Why can't you just work? You have bugs every goddamn Tuesday. I'm sorry, this page cannot be found. It's getting hot dog fucked by Kanye West. I am pissed the hell the fuck off, nigga. What, you piece of shit? Work. Can you work for me? Can you do that? Can you work? Can you goddamn work, you damn piece of crap? I'm tired of sitting up here. Keep sending status updates. Is it working now, guys? 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 Is it working? No, it's not fucking working. Fix it, Facebook. Fix it. MySpace don't got no goddamn friend limit. Why does Facebook have friend limit? That's stupid. You can only have 5,000 friends. Why? Because your bitch ass can't get friends, bitch ass nigga. I'm supposed to only get 5,000 goddamn friends? Why am I the only YouTube partner with this goddamn problem? You don't see Shane Dawson with this problem. You don't see Nigga Higgle with this problem. Fred, none of them. A fat black nigga. Oh, well, he can't get his goddamn fans. I'm going to put the link to my fan page in this describe box, okay? I'm going to put the goddamn link to my goddamn fan page in the describe box. Half of you are going to be able to see my fan page, and the other half of you is going to redirect you to a fucking XXX porno website, granny porn. I don't know what, but it keeps redirecting people. I don't know why. And if you can't click the link to my page, please type in SIDGAS fan page, and it should be there. Type into the search, and you will see me with a red shirt looking like a faggot. Please do that. Can you do that for me? Can you please do that? I'm so goddamn angry. If I was one of those dumbass celebrities, one of those big pop star assholes, this shit would work. But since I'm a fat black nigga, nothing can work. I finally got a PS3 also. I'm happy. I'm sorry I'm updating you guys with this shit, but I'm fucking pissed. Fuck you, Facebook. Fuck you.
Are you back?
Yeah, we are.
Yep, they should rename that shit Fuckbook. I agree
fuck
with Sigas. Fuckbook. They can still keep that big F that they use for their logo and shit, and it'd be all good. So, anyway. One thing I wanted to get into last week, but I wanted to kind of get our guests on, and I didn't want to use up too much time. Now, I had obviously promoted that, you know, I thought match of the year thus far has definitely been last week's Jersey All-Pro match of Low-Key versus Sami Callihan. By far, unbelievably hard-hitting. I think, in my opinion, I like that match better than any match that happened last year. So it would have been last year's match of the year. Who knows if it'll be this year's match of the year, but I think it's definitely a contender as we stand. So I definitely big that up, and I have no problem with doing it again. You know, Jersey All-Pro did a very, very good thing in putting those two guys in the ring together. So something I got to say on the other side of things, of course, you always get, you know, you get your positive from me and you get your negative. So here's the negative. I've had enough with this Southside Players Club nonsense. All right. Now, I understand to a certain extent the appeal of the gimmick, of course. However, like, if you decided that you were going to put out a group of guys that brought out strippers, why would you decide month in and month out to hire strippers or hookers or whatever their profession may be that are, now, it's not unlike strippers to have this problem, but it's only my first of many problems with these girls, to have visible drug problems, as well as no tits, no ass. And I don't understand. I don't understand how you can show up with no tits and no ass and be a stripper. I don't think that should be legal. I think there should be a federal mandate that you must have at least one of those two assets in order to qualify as a stripper. Like, there's certain shit that you need to do to get certain jobs, you know? And to me, that's one of them, you know? The one bitch, she kept her hand over her mouth for most of the match, and that's just because I think, like, she was probably going to throw up from whatever kind of drug she was doing because her eyes were in space while the whole match was going on. And she was just walking around with, like, her hand over her mouth and, like, kind of playing it off like she was laughing, but there was nothing funny, and was just doing that for the most of the match and looked more strung out than, like, I've seen bitches on corners and shit, fucking Newark and, you know, real fucked up places and, you know, places that I've been at and hung out at that, you know, I've seen some strung out bitches that was looking to sell their ass and, like, they looked in better shape than this bitch, you know? And, shit. I don't think pole dancing has anything to do with bitches the shape of a pole dancing. I don't think that, you know, you should be able to take those same bitches home for the same price of the ticket you bought general admission to get into the joint. You know, I just think it's a very low class way, and like, and I'll get into the people who actually like this shit in a minute, but like several times I've seen Johnny D, you know, the manager guy, personality, that walks around with these chicks while the match goes on, and like points at the fans and talks shit to the fans as if you wish you had, like, says things such as, you wish you had this, oh, look at this, yeah, bend over, and, like, then, like, that type of thing, and you're just like, oh, I'm just, like, throwing up in my mouth and stuff, and, like, the one thing I caught, because he said to the fat guy that was two rows in front of me, because I sat in the back for this one, but he was two rows in front of me, and he was in the front, and this guy, like, I'd say 3 to 5 times every match, he found a reason to jump up out of his seat at 250 out of shape pounds and cross chop, like do the DX or the, you know, like the Wolfpack cross chop thing, and told him suck it, like, to every, like. Like I said, like 3 to 5 times every match, he found a reason to do that to the heel on the match, like jump up and do that shit and like yell, suck it at them. Like that was the ultimate insult for this guy for the whole night. So Johnny D walked up with these strippers or whatever, right? And he walked to that side of the ring and he stops with her and he has the crackhead bending over. And I don't know if she might have been throwing up on the floor. I'm not really positive. And, he goes, this here's like a glass of fine wine. And I turned to the girl and I say more like a shot glass of box wine. That shit is ridiculous, man. I mean, if you want to bring out some strippers, bring up some big titty, big ass chicks, and then do the whole stripper gimmick. I don't see a problem with it. Obviously, it's going to get over with a good amount of the crowd just for the, you know, the DNA factor. It's obvious. You know, that's why, like, you know, a lot of women who can't wrestle that work as women wrestlers or valets, you know, that work for that reason have those assets and go out there and flaunt it, and they make a good name for themselves, and they, you know, have assets. And there's hugely talented women's wrestlers out there as well, you know, that don't need to have that. They don't need to even do any of that. However, if that's your role, you need to have something that fits your role, and these chicks don't at all. And, like, every time I show up to the shows and I hear the music hit and I see them, they're about to come out, I'm like, man, I hope they got something better than what they came out with last month. What the fuck? And
well,
no.
The rumor is that strippers are from the strip club that Fat Frank helps pay for, or I think he owns it or something.
Really? What strip club does Fat Frank own?
That's what I heard. I heard he kind of owned a strip club.
What strip club?
I don't know. I think it's over. I don't even know.
It's over where? Do you know?
I think it's in a I know it's the place where they do the Jersey All Pro after parties. I'm not sure what it's called, but
I don't remember by
sources in Jersey All Pro.
I don't know, man.
That's why they have the
strippers
there.
These bitches look like Ian Rotten's paying them with like $25 and a handful of pills. Because they're in no shape to be stripping, I can tell you that much. So, and then the dudes, honestly, like, I'm not a fan of that tag team. If your gimmick's going to get you over, that's just fine. But, like, they were doing that, like, autograph signing shit with the whole locker room for the most part. Well, for the most part, the less talented part of the locker room stands around the ring. And then you have, you know, low-key in the middle of the ring signing autographs at the intermission. And when I first saw the dude without sunglasses on and shit, I was like, oh, shit. Look at this Jumbo Joe Guns and shit. I ain't seen that guy since the Donnie B shows. Like I was like, oh, this old Jumbo Joe Guns, man. Yeah, he looks like he is about 60 now. I looked for another minute, and I was like, what the fuck is he even doing here? And then I'm like, oh, wait, that's that Joe Hardaway guy. That's one of those Southside Players Club guys.
Jumped in Joey. Wow. Wow.
I thought it was Jumbo Joe Guns. He had that crazy, I mean, this guy's face is fucked up, dude. Whatever fucking shit he put into his fucking body to get that little physique he's got. Man, I'd rather be a motherfucking Ethiopian starving motherfucking flies on my eyeballs type motherfucker than look like that guy's face with some muscles on me. Fuck that. Fuck that type of shit on my face. So, that's just me. I don't get it. I don't get the Southside Players Club. I don't think they're really that talented. And, you know, that half-hour fucking intro with a bunch of bony-ass strippers that might die before you leave the building doesn't get over with me. Sorry. Oh, one person I could tell you it did get over with, and the highlight of that match, because it was actually Southside Players Club versus the Runaways, which, oh, man, for anyone who knows me, knows that the Runaways get over huge with me. Right. And I couldn't even cheer for them.
It was probably like a J. Cap Morris special.
Oh, I couldn't even cheer for them. You know, I can never cheer for them.
It
was 2 days before my birthday.
Well, it's the birthday show, so that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Honestly, it was the closest thing too. And oh, I got my motherfucking birthday match. That was Sammy Callahan versus fucking Loki. Believe me, that's my motherfucking birthday match.
Your birthday match was the Southside Players Club versus the Runaways.
You say so. So, but the best part of that match overall was after the match when the Southside Players Club, when the Southside Polecats Club fucking, you know, when they were celebrating winning the match, and these chicks are doing their, I don't know if they were convulsing or dancing, but you know, either way, it was getting over with most. And this one guy, like, diagonal to me, like, I think he was second or first row or something, but he had his cell phone out with the fucking ear-to-ear smile recording the celebration. Ear-to-ear fucking... This guy couldn't have been happier. My 7-year-old on Christmas didn't look as happy as this fucking guy looked to be taping these bony fucking drug addict strippers. He looked so thrilled. I was laughing hysterically watching him and nothing else. And he would fucking run out of time on his cell phone. Like, you can only, I don't know what the time limit is, but he would run out of time on the video clip, and I'd watch him scroll down, save it, and then hit record again, and you'd see the smile hit his ears again. Like, he'd look determined to be saving it in a folder and then start recording. So, like, he got that determined look, and then, boom, his fucking smile hit the fucking, the corners of his mouth hit his fucking ears again as soon as the record started hitting again. And he was just cheesing, just fucking watching. It was the highlight of his night. I didn't see shit out of that guy other than that. That was the happiest time in that guy's fucking month. Man, that shit was cracking me up. But that's why I did, you know, that's why I'll do that shit again. And again and again and again. So I'll keep talking shit. I'll go fuck.
Keep doing it. Keep going.
Yeah, I'll keep talking shit about that every time they do it and I'm in attendance, I'm going to make sure I point out how fucking horrible those strippers look. See, I'm the type of motherfucker, when I used to, I haven't gone to strip clubs in years, you know, because I've been with, you know, the girl for over a decade, and, you know, it's just not favorited by my situation. So, well, when I used to go to strip clubs, man, I was fucked up, man. They're asking for my money and shit, so, you know, if they look good, you know, they got what the fuck they were supposed to get. Otherwise, I spin my fucking chair around. Like, if I thought they didn't belong there, I spin my chair around. They be asking my boys and shit, yo, what's his fucking problem? And I'll be laughing my ass off, my back to the fucking stage. That's just, you know, hey, man, you don't belong there. I can't fuck with you. That's, you know, same reason I walked out on Niles Young's matches and fucking, you know, some of DJ's matches and shit. Because I don't want to see that shit. I got no reason to fucking, Z-Bars matches. I don't got no reason to sit in my fucking seat. Because I ain't paying for this shit. This is garbage. So I walk the fuck out. You know what I mean? Or I turn my seat around. Or, you know. It's not as easy to pivot seats. And that's really not what I'm looking to do in wrestling. So I'll just go do some other shit. But, I'll go do that shit.
How did the little one enjoy the show?
Huh?
So how did your daughter enjoy the show?
Oh, MJ, yeah, she loved it. She looked confused during that whole fucking Southside Players Club shit. And that's the thing, too. Listen, it's a considered family show, right? Okay, it's okay for the family. The only part in that entire show that was inappropriate for my kid to see was the part with the Southside Players Club. Now, listen, I understand. I'm a very accepting, I'm a very understanding person with that type of thing. Now, if it's something that is valuable to your show to get over to bring the strippers out, da 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 da. It's still inappropriate with these bony fucking Ethiopian strippers. Can you please at least fucking put strippers out there that look like fucking strippers if you're going to be inappropriate in front of my kid, man? Come on. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying don't do it at all. But don't put a terrible example of a fucking stripper out there, still be inappropriate, and have me going, well, God damn, this bitch looks like she's going to die. You know? That's like walking into a fucking, like one of those strip bars that you don't even know is a strip bar in Newark and shit. And you walk in there, it happens to be a bar, and then they got like a mirror up in the corner, and the chick's on like 5 inches of stage with sunglasses on in a dim-ass room. You looking like, what the fuck is she doing? Oh. She really trying to make money here? Like one of those things, you know? And that's what it felt like. Like, when they come out with those type of chicks, where, like chicks got hair on their legs, and like, it just don't even make sense.
It's like the rejects of the strip club.
Yeah, and they bring that shit out like they balling. They need to spend less money on them bottles they bring out with them and more on the strippers, because, jeez.
Yeah.
Terrible. I can't handle that shit. I got a big, big problem with it. So, that's my opinion on that. What else? What else we got? I know you like to go over ROH. Didn't they have an ROH show this weekend?
Yeah, but I haven't even... I have it down... I have the show...
You have no idea what that is?
Like, I purchased the internet pay-per-view, and I have not been able to watch it, so I will review it next week, as well as I will also be helping you review the Zandig Shoot interview, because I will be getting the Zandig Shoot interview.
Yes, well, I think that's going to have to wait till the following week, because next week I have an unbelievably in-depth best of the best.
With me.
Yeah. Best of the best to review, as well as the WXW show to review. I have a lot of things to talk about next week. So it's going to be a very in-depth show. It's going to be very critical. It's going to be see it as being a very successful, more or less like a celebration of what we get to witness this Saturday in Best of the Best 10. So I see
tomorrow,
us having a lot
tomorrow,
of...
I'm so fired up. Tomorrow is Friday, and then Saturday is Best of the Best.
Right,
my
and another thing they're doing... I'm not going to be able to attend this, so I don't really have the whole card or anything, but Sunday they're going to do another crazy doubleheader in North Jersey, I believe. And you're going to get two more Jun Kasai matches. One will be that of Jun Kasai versus Sami Callihan. And another one will be Jun Kasai versus the Necro Butcher. So, I mean, those are huge, huge things to look forward to. You guys want to check that out?
You also get to see Daisuke Sakimoto versus DJ Hyde.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
That's... So, what else happened?
What do you mean?
So, what else happened?
What do you mean? that's it. And a one-on-one match.
And? Go ahead.
And, yeah. That's going to be good.
Is it?
No, it's going to suck. It's going to really blow. Also announced for that. That's on the CCW show. That's the 130 show.
I would imagine.
Adam Cole versus Rich Swann.
Excellent.
Sami Callihan versus Kyle O'Reilly.
All right.
John Moxley versus Jake Crist.
Should be very good.
The CCW World Championship on the line, featuring whoever walks out of Best of the Best with the title. Billy's Most Wanted versus Bandito Jr. and Azrael.
Wait. The CZW Championship will be defended against?
No. The
whoever
CCW,
walks out?
There will be a CCW World Heavyweight title match featuring whoever. It could be Devin Moore or...
Right. They're not giving you the opponent, though, right?
Right.
Okay.
All right, and then they have Philly's Most Wanted versus Bandito and Azrael. Drew Gulak versus Zack Sabre Jr. Jun Kasai versus Necro. And then for that WXW show, you have Sakimoto and Johnny Moss versus the Briscoes. Chris Hero versus Zack Sabre Jr. Adam Cole versus Emil Satoshi. Bad Bones and Scotty Vortex versus Big Van Walter and Drake Younger. Kyle O'Reilly versus Marty Skrull, and Chris Dickinson versus Carson Beck.
Chris Dickinson is on the WXW side of that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm looking to see him hopefully booked in CZW at some point. I like Chris Dickinson. I think he has good potential in certain situations. I've seen him look good, I've seen him look bad, and I think in the right situation, I think he could look really good in CZW. So, but, working on the same day, doubleheader, is definitely a good start. So, yeah, it's a huge weekend, guys. You guys also, if you're in the Egg Harbor Township area, they're doing a Force One versus WXW show on Friday. And that's another thing to look forward to. I mean, you have that. You have a doubleheader on Saturday in Philly. You have a doubleheader in Union City, New Jersey, on Sunday. I mean, this is one of the most packed weekends of wrestling in the Northeast that you can possibly imagine or hope for. For everybody who's been waiting and anticipating Jun Kasai to come back to the Northeast, it is here. is 2 days away. And I've seen on CCW's site that Sakimoto and Jun Kasai have arrived in the United States today. So, all is well.
I can't wait for the Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, and Eric is still more anticipating Girl Scout cookies than he is Jun Kasai. That's the irony of it all. Well,
I haven't been to Philly since Cage of Death. So
I know, and still, Girl Scout cookies are your main event. That's
of course. No, that's the go home. That's for the go home. That's for the ride home.
That's his Eric's after party. Girl Scout cookies in the car.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Yeah, who knows?
But don't know what else we can get into. One other thing I may expect mention of. Huh?
We could go over a certain person's show.
A what?
A hint, radio show.
Oh, well, but, let me say like this, man. I don't know. I mean, you guys, and I'm not a beat around the bush type motherfucker, right? So, when it comes down to it, I'm going to tell people what the fuck I feel. Now, I had been a constant defender since a while back of Reggie. Reggie is a friend of ours. He's a 16-year-old kid. And, you know, he puts out his passion and how he really feels. And he freaks out on YouTube. And this shit has been very entertaining at times, you know. However, Reggie has overstepped his boundaries. You know, for months and months, he kept going on and on about, I'm going to make my own wrestling radio show. I'm going to make my own wrestling radio show. And I don't have a problem with that. Listen, here's my standpoint. I am a humble person. I do my best to do this radio show and try to entertain people. I can't say for sure if I do or I don't because I'm not other people. I try to put out something that I think would be worth listening if I were the one subscribing to it. And I do re-listen to my shows, and some of them I'm happy with, some of them I'm not. I don't by any means think I'm the best radio show out there. Of course, I try to be. I don't think I am, but I strive for better and better, and I just try to improve, and I just try to put out a good show. So I never think, I'm the best podcast out there. I'm the best radio show. I'm out there. You know, I got a lot of respect. I always give a huge shout-out to my boys over there at Wrestling Soup, Anthony Missionary Thomas and Joey Numbers. They do a phenomenal fucking job. Phenomenal. I mean, they're great at this shit. Anthony's going to fucking school for broadcasting. I mean, they got the sound drops over there. They have a really, really good show. These guys will do 4.5 hours at the drop of a hat without interviews. I mean, these guys, they know how to fucking put a show together, for sure. I give people props where props is due. Well, Reggie decided he was going to go on and on about how he was going to have a wrestling show, right? Well, he did. He put on his first show on Saturday. It was the worst thing I've ever heard. And his host... You know, Reggie's actually the co-host. He's not the host of the show. He's the co-host. The host of the show is British. Does not live in the country. And has all sorts of things to say about the indies.
Everything.
And openly says that he's only even started watching the indies 3 years ago. He made a statement that made me despise him, saying that... Zandig put a bad name on CCW and that it was only about hardcore and the whole hanging by hooks thing, and that's all CCW was ever about, and then DJ bought it and now he's bringing respect to the CCW. Now,
so
while I still... Huh?
No, I said absolutely not. He's not bringing any respect to it.
Right. Well, while I still like a lot of things that are going on in CCW, and I still support CCW, by no means will I fucking lead anybody in any other direction, but knowing that CCW would not exist without John Zandig, and John Zandig created a company 10 years ago that got me hooked and has me here today. Would I drive all the way to Philly for a company that just established itself and we're doing a pretty good product? No, I wouldn't. I honestly wouldn't. I have been loyal for 10 years now, since February of 2001, because John Zandig, month in and month out, did something that other people weren't doing and showed me phenomenal wrestling. From 2001, when the Briscoe versus Briscoe match happened, when Winger won the first Best of the Best, to Jody Fleisch being in there, to Trent Acid doing everything he's done. Now let's leave death matches aside and just make everybody fucking know who thinks for 1 second that all John Zandig did was run hardcore product. You're horribly mistaken. You failed to inform yourself of the facts before you reported it on the air as such a journalist, while admitting that you're only 3 years into watching indie wrestling. You dare to come out of your mouth with such things as this, when if you could say that this is credible because of such and such a guy, this is credible because such and such a guy, well, most of those guys were also hired by John Zandig before the company was sold to anybody. So not to shit on anybody current, not to shit on DJ, not to shit on anything that's going on right now, I think you're a fucking retard if you come out of your mouth and tell me that John Zandig was a bad thing for CCW. John Zandig is the only reason there is CZW, you retard. So that's my statement to that guy. And as for Reggie telling people that he's going to be the best new show and IMing me and telling me we're going to be the best show ever. And I said, dude, not for nothing, but you probably shouldn't go around telling that to other radio hosts. Well, I'm not talking about you guys. Just Don Tony and all those guys. And I'm thinking to myself, listen, man, I don't get anywhere near the fucking listens of Don Tony and Wrestling Soup. These guys are pulling in a couple hundred live listens. I mean, these guys are doing numbers. They're doing their fucking thing. This Reggie, man, this kid seems to think he's going to leapfrog everybody at my level, everybody who's just starting out, and he's just going to be a 1,000-a-week listener, and, he's going to have 1,000 listeners a week, and he's going to be the best show, and people are going to be mailing him awards, and, I do my best to encourage Reggie in a good way, and I would love to see him just get his head on right and stop talking out of his ass, because the shit is getting on my nerves. And, hey, man, again, I am not the best. I don't know if I ever will be near being the best. I know that I try my best. However, when somebody else comes out and just tells me they're the best and I listen to their show, and it's so intolerable, it's ridiculous. Like, it's very, very bad. My girl is going, this sucks. I could try to be positive. Anyone else that walks in the room goes, what the fuck are you listening to? Then obviously, dude, you need some shit to work on before you go fucking parading in the streets about being the best out there. Because I would never do that shit. I've been doing this, we're now coming around the corner and approaching me doing this a year. And I think I've improved. However, not the best. I'm not praising. I'm not fucking bragging to nobody, because it is what it is, man. If you like it, great. Thank you very much. I don't claim it to be anything it's not. However, I just don't like people telling me that they're the best. They're going to be the best. I'm the top show out there. And this shit is not even tolerable. So, get your shit right, and as far as this other fucking British guy, shut your fucking face, dude. You ran 6 WWE commercials during your show. Can you please define to me what that accomplishes? When the WWE is not paying you, they don't need your advertising, they would actually sue you for using their shit if they knew that you were a threat, which you're not. And I don't understand it. I don't understand where let's take a break now and play a WrestleMania promo. Play a WrestleMania commercial. Like, what are you trying to accomplish, you British retard? So, I don't know. It was just something to piss me off. I left it all the way till the end of the show because I really didn't want to bore people that don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, which means all of you except for my girl in the living room and Eric. So, and hopefully Reggie will listen and he'll know too.
And we'll have a good time this week. We'll have a good time this weekend talking about it instead of, you know.
Oh, I'll have a ball. So, but I won't have much talk to say about them because I'll be having a great, great time at the show. It's going to be unbelievable. I think it's more or less the end of the show we got going on here. So pretty much, yeah, supposedly he also has DJ. He has DJ.
On the day of Best of Best.
Yeah. Supposedly Reggie and this British guy has DJ on Saturday.
Absolutely.
Alright. If you say so, buddy. So I'll get that call-in number. Maybe I'll call in and see how they handle hecklers. See how they handle hecklers. So, I'll just hand the phone around the parking lot and see how he likes that. We'll see. We'll see. Probably won't. I have better things on my mind. But either way, shout out to, like I said previously, Wrestling Soup. Hey, please check us out next week. Check out our archives. We know some of you will be back. Huh?
Juan. Should Juan give a shout out to Juan?
Oh, of course. Juan, you know, Juan's that dude, man. He's one of our most loyal listeners, and man, I mean, he's my homie, man. He's always down for us, and I always give him a big, big thank you for that. So we'll see you back next week, Juan, and hopefully bring your friends, man. Tell your friends. You got to have friends. A guy like you, come on. So we want to see everybody back next. Huh?
Man, you know, you got to bring your friends here, you know?
Yeah, man. What? So anyway, next week we'll be back 9 o'clock. On the dot, Eastern Standard Time, www.blogtalkradio/YKR online. You got anything else?
Nope.
Well, I'll see you Saturday, and I hope to see everybody else out there Saturday. Best of the best, WXW. You want to go out there in North Jersey, check out WXW, CZW. This is the weekend for wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan, you guys need to get off your ass and go to a show. This is when it goes down. Jun Kasai, East Coast, Best of the Best 10. We'll check you out next week. For Eric Williams, I'm J. Cat Mars. Peace.